All right. Welcome to Sisters United. All right, ladies, are you on the line? Let's see, we got Sultry Love Jones. Are you there?
Yes, I am here.
All right, girl, give us a shout out for this morning, a good morning, a hallelujah, or whatever you feel like doing.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm blessed to be here and able to talk to y'all this morning. How are y'all doing?
Blessed.
Good. I'm great. Thanks.
All right. Now, let's see. Tim and Lily, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Amen. Go on and give
us
a shout out this morning.
Good morning. Hallelujah. I pray that I'm in a better sound right now. I put my headset on, so I think I sound more clear. Am I sounding clear?
Yes, you are.
Good deal.
All right. Okay, let's see. Do we have Miss Keisha Robinson on the line?
Good morning. I am here and happy to be back with you ladies today so we can talk about these hot topics.
I know that's right. Okay, now we have one more. Miss Rita, are you on the line? Not yet. So we're going to keep it moving, and when Miss Rita comes on the line, she will announce herself. Welcome to Sisters United. We are a group of ladies bringing you fresh topics, hot topics, relevant topics. Listen, we're going to ask each other questions and put this stuff on the table. Do you hear what I'm saying? Last week's show was so awesome. We talked about sweeping it under the rug. We talked about Madam C.J. Walker, the movie. Well, you know, the jury is still out on that. We talked about these children with the sense of entitlement, and we talked about healing. We talked about all kinds of stuff. So I can't wait to see what we have on the table today. And as usual, we're going to start off with Ms. Tammy and Lily. What you got for us? Start us off today. What you got for us today?
Okay. I want to be a little transparent with my life. I am a product of being an outside child. And growing up, I've always been addressed when I'm introduced as a half-sister. Instead of saying, hey, this is my sister right here, I've always been addressed as a half-sister. Do you think that's okay? Because the reason was for that person is because me and her did not favor. And people will always be like, you sure that's your sister? Or they're like, that's your sister. It was always a question. And so to alleviate that, her justification was, this is my half-sister. Do you think that's okay to put those extra, adjectives on there in order to describe somebody as a role instead of saying, this is my sister, my brother, my mom, my daddy, instead of saying my stepdaddy, my stepmother, my brother, my half-sister.
Oh, wow. Go ahead, Ms. Keisha, weigh in on that.
Okay, so this is, now in my family, we don't play the half, the step, and all of that. You are blood related, and also I have many cousins that are not blood related, but they have mixed right on in. So I think it just depends on your family and what the dynamics are. So my brothers are my brothers. I don't have sisters. My cousins are my cousins, and that's the way it is. And if I ever get married and he has children, those will be my children. Those won't be my stepchildren, or, you know, unless that's something that they do. I wouldn't feel any kind of way about it. So I think it just all depends on the family and the person and how it makes still, I noticed that Tammy said that she was an outside child. So, you know, I guess it's relative to how she was made to feel, you know, like maybe with the situation, maybe, you know, with how she was treated and things like that. Because, you know, my grandmother has half sisters and this and that. And my grandmother, you know, it's her, my grandmother treated them as, you know, treated her as, or, you know, the situation as my sister. And usually the child that is considered the half or treated, that's the daddy's child, because the mama, if, you know, if you live in a house with your mama and you're, you know, you have a father and the other child has a father, it's not my half sister, my half brother, that's my brother and sister. But usually it, you know, the table is flipped when it's the daddy's child, you know, versus the mom's child. So, you know, I don't really feel about it, you know, one way or the other. It just depends on what your family does. And if it makes you feel bad, then, that, you know, that's probably something for discussion. But it wouldn't make me feel bad either way or the other.
Okay, love, Jones. What you think about it?
Okay, my take on that, in my family, we don't say step anything. Like Keisha was saying, we just say sister or brother, whether you have the same dad or the same mom, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, it's what you give to us, the love and attention. I feel like when you use step, that makes the child feel separated from the family. And some kids do feeling some type of way, like they were left out because they were always considered the stepchild or the child of whatever it is that people say. My dad had two children, me and my brother. My sister has a different dad, but we don't say that's my half-sister. She was raised with us. We say that's our sister because she's our sister, whether she has a different dad or a different mom at the end of the day. My family loves family, so we embrace everybody. We don't use the word step, and I just can't see that. Like, me and my husband have a son, but my daughter is not his. He doesn't say, oh, that's my stepdaughter. He says, that's my daughter. He's been in her life since she was little, and he calls and checks on her like a dad would. He don't say, oh, hey, stepdaughter, how you doing? He say, hey, baby, how you doing? It's daddy. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand. We're already divided. Period. We shouldn't add on anything to that.
That's true. You know, I feel the same way. I think that when people begin to say half and step, it you're trying to it creates a division in the family. It creates it constantly, like Tim said, that outside. That word outside is what gets me. You know, it's like that person can be everything that a sister is, or everything that a father is, or everything that a brother is, but you want to remind, because it ain't for other people, really. You know, if I'm in a relationship with you, I got sisters that, you know, in my family at all, by any means connected, but they're my sisters. And I wouldn't dare say, oh, that's my fake sister. You know, or I would say that's my sister, you know. And I think that the title of has or step has something to do with the disconnect between the two people. It's saying that I'm not gonna, and I think that the two people need to sit down and deal with that, because it's like, you going to let me all the way in, or are you not? Is that your line you're drawing? Or let's deal with what's really going on. You see what I'm saying? Because I can feel the pain in that and the disconnect in that when it comes to those titles. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I'm your sister, I'm not your sister. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to keep playing into you. Won't, it's kind of like a person, it's kind of like a person that wants all the benefits of something, but when it comes time to claim it, then I don't know, you know, I don't know you that well. We are different people. We are on a different level. I have more benefit to something than you do. You know what I'm saying? Or let's go into the step farther situation, which is the exact same to me. It's the exact same because he steps into a role of our stepmother. She steps into a role. And because of the relationship between in the family, somebody wants you to make sure you call them a step because they
right.
have to. You know what I'm saying? It's all,
right.
it's something in there that division that we allow as people. You know, we yes, the state and the you know, this is what it is on paper, all this. But when we talk about love, when we talk about true relationship. You're a sister or you're not a sister. You're a brother or you're not a brother. Let's just be real about it. How about that?
Right. I'd rather you get
I think it only needs to be a discussion if somebody feels some kind of way about it, because whether I was a stepmother or a stepsister or a step whatever, it wouldn't affect me any kind of way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just wouldn't. I'm me. But I'm, you know, I'm kind of a different, you know, I'm a different kind of butterfly, you know. Or whatever, so some things or whatever, and I probably would say, okay, that's the shade they want to, you know, that's fine. They get tired of saying it before I got tired of hearing it, because it wouldn't bother me.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it just wouldn't. So, and if that was their goal, like I said, that it just wouldn't work for me. I think that it needs to be a conversation if the person that is directed to feels a certain kind of way. Me personally, miss me with that. Give me something that I really need to deal with. I don't have to deal with titles, you know, or whatever. I'm not a title person. So I think it just depends on, you know, and I think it's probably an ill-feel thing, you know, whatever, towards the person that feels like that they need to create, you know, need to create that scenario or whatever. But I don't know. Some power I don't allow people to have over me. Let them deal with whatever that mess is that they have to deal with, and I will be on with something else.
Call in if you have any questions.
This is Tammy. I'm sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, I wanna acknowledge another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. You just called in. Is that you?
Oh,
Rita?
Hi. This No,
I'm here.
Okay, you're there. Okay, what caller has just called in? 7907?
This is Candace Joseph.
You wanted to make a comment?
Well, only comment that I have in regards to the topic is that I definitely think that that's a discussion that has to come in early in a relationship when those things are bound and when you're at that marriage step. And
yeah.
I think that it's something that should be discussed as a family, truthfully, in regards to the titles of step-parent or all of that. I have to say I raised four girls, and I just consider myself to be the other mother. I never said stepmom. I never said stepchildren. These are my daughters, and I'm their mother.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much how I ruled that. But I also was open and honest with them and gave them a choice. How do you prefer, you know, to communicate with me? How do you prefer that title?
Right.
Because
right.
a lot of times parents will take that choice out of kids' hands, and it's not fair to them.
I agree.
Yeah,
I totally.
It's like they're part of this family too, so you have to be able to listen and respect their feelings as well, because it's not only that they're getting, you know, an extra parent, they're getting an extra person to give them rules. They're giving an extra person, you know, that's going to be in charge of their curfew for the night, or their dating privileges, or their allowance. So,
right.
like, you have to respect the kid in that situation, too, especially depending on the age, especially if it's an older kid, because my daughters were 7, 8, and 10,
okay.
you know, when I adopted them. So, you know, they were staff steppers, but, you know, I gave them a choice. At first they called me Miss Candace. Then they called me CJ. Then it was, okay, mom two. Okay, stepmom. then, you know, so it's kind of like you have to be able to be open to their feelings. And, you know, over the years, my title's changed. Now I'm just mom.
Right. Right.
All right. That was good. Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead.
I want to add another leg to that. We're speaking on this as adults, but what if this was a child? I met these particular siblings when I was young, probably about 4 years old. I didn't really grow up with them, but as a smaller kid, it didn't really matter because I wasn't in a place where I seen it as being a big issue, and I remember taking it to my mother. And I told her, I said, well, look, because I called my mother Trix. I was like, well, Trix, you know, it seemed like I don't have no whole brothers and sisters because me and my brother had different daddies. And these other siblings, particularly the one that was closest to me in age, she would address me as a half-sister when she introduced me. So it wasn't so much of a big issue, but when I took it to her, she was like, well, no, you don't have no half-brothers and sisters. You just have sisters and brothers, and mainly you got your brother talking about her child. This is your brother, no matter what. This is your brother. It's not half. It's not anything. This is your brother. Because she grew up in a household that she was the only child between her mother and her father had additional children by marriage that he got with the woman afterwards, after she was born. And so they never missed a step. I mean, even today, to this very day, when they have reunions, this reunion is from her stepmother's people, but they don't even skip a beat. I have cousins that I call my cousin. It's not a big explanation and all that kind of stuff. This is just my family, and most of them are more so from her stepmother's side, which is, you know, that was mama. So they just didn't skip a beat. When they did the family tree, my mother was in there just the same, and my mother's been dead for, you know, 30 years, 30 plus years, and so they don't skip a beat. This is my sister. That was my cousin. So I got an opportunity to see it from both sides, and as I got older, I started putting a little bit more, I guess, meaning of seeing for what it was, and even in our relationship now, whenever one of my siblings make a move, for example, one of them came down from California to Texas, I wasn't called. I just happened to know by looking at Facebook. And, you know, it was kind of like, okay, well, you didn't call me. Let me know, at least let me know, dog, cat, that I'm coming down here. But, you know, then I had to check myself because, and I put on, I've made a post and said, don't let your insecurities consume you because God says you're enough. So I had to check myself to be just transparent. I started to feel some kind of way, but I had to check myself and just had to say, well, you know what, it don't matter. It don't matter what nobody else calls you. It don't matter how insignificant or anything or somebody makes you feel, although if they do it on purpose or don't do it on purpose, the feeling is still there. But I had to check myself in my spirit and let it be known that God says I'm a nut, so it don't matter what anybody else calls me. Or address me or put a title on me, I'm enough for him.
Exactly.
So what do you think about that as a child? You know, we talk about that as adults, and we can talk about it in an adult setting, you know, or talk, well, how would you feel about this? How you feel about that? But as a child, and that child feels insecure about that situation, how do you deal with it when it comes to children?
Wow. Okay, Love Joe.
I would say this here. I agree with Candy that says that you have to do this talk when they're little. So when you first met your siblings, y'all should have been sat down and introduced, this is your sister. And they should have went from there. They should have said, we're not, there's no such thing as step, there's this, there's that. How you felt about that, as the other kids out, they felt about that, they should have put everybody's feelings and accountability, because it didn't just affect the mom and the dad or the stepmom and the stepdad or however the case was. It affected the kids as well. Whether something like I explained to my brother, some kids need you to help them understand why is this. Some kids don't care. I was a kid that cared, so I needed to understand why this was happening in my life. I didn't understand. But my brother, he took it as, oh, well, I'm grown. When I get older, I can do what I want to do. I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that. So he didn't worry about the choices and decisions that were happening in our life. So it just, to me, it's just people, some need to be explained to and some just don't care. So to me, it seems like, Tammy, that you wanted to understand why was I step, what was wrong with me, why did I have to step? And I think that they should have helped you understand that or explain to you, oh, it's not like that, or we don't know how to deal with this situation. I think it should have been explained to you when you were little, because when I was little, I was very boisterous like I am today. And I got my point across. And my mom explained to me things that she didn't have to explain to my brother and my sister, because I always want to know why.
Yes. Okay. Oh, Miss Keisha.
I feel like we have to be upfront and honest with our children. So, I just say explain the situation to them or whatever. If you're married, this is your, like Soulja said, this is your brother, this is your sister. But at the same time, like I said, I'm not a title person, so I'm not into, requiring that your child calls the stepmom or the stepfather daddy a mom. I think that it's how they make them feel, because you may have a neighbor or somebody that feels motherly to you, and you might call that person mom. Like, I have a cousin named Ann, and I call her mommy. I always did, because that's my cousin, but, she's the one. Now, I could always talk to my mama, but if it was something, really, I'm calling mommy, But that's my cousin. I know that's my cousin, so I think that it's kind of a relative thing. My mother remarried after my father. I did not call. I called him by his name, but I was grown. My father married after my mother, I called my stepmother by her name. I don't feel like it should be a requirement, because then I think that builds resentment. Sometimes whoever that was that said in the beginning, it should be a conversation earlier, early on, maybe even before marriage, that this is what's about to take place and the families are going to be blended, whatever.
Right.
So, this is how it is, so that there is no resentment. This person is trying to take my mom. This person is trying to take my dad, and things like that. So I am a very transparent person. So I always tell people, I'll tell you anything it is that you want to know about me, or, especially about me, but just make sure you're ready for the answer, whatever. Make sure you really want to know what you're asking for. So, that's how I feel about it. There definitely needs to be a conversation, but there shouldn't be any emphasis on, what they're called. Now, disrespect is another thing that won't be tolerated. Like, you won't make that person feel like they're beneath, you just have to be open.
Okay. Sounds good. Now, this topic right here is a serious topic, because there's so many points of view on this topic. Want to get back to the original start of it, and make sure that we post this question, this topic, in the Sisters United group, so that we can continue this conversation. And post it in all forms so we can get feedback so we can possibly share it on our next show. We want to get ready to switch up. We're going to go to Ms. Keisha. What topic did you have today? We want to thank Ms. Tammy Lilly for getting us started off with a bang.
talk about today is following your dreams and not allowing others to get you in the way of yourself.
Okay.
That's what I want to talk about. So just say, for instance, I have an idea about something. I think it's just the best idea, and then they, whoever they are, comes in and decides, okay, no, you can't do that because, you know, this reason or that reason. The question is, where did you, you know, where did you receive this idea from? That's the first thing or whatever. I believe that your gift will make room for you. People only tell you things from the view that they see it. I talk about turtles and giraffes all the time. So if you are a turtle, you can only see what's scattered, you know, like basically ground level. But when you are a giraffe, you can see, you have a broader view. So some people are only going to speak to you on the level that they are. And you have to always remember that. So, and they didn't give you your view. That's not something that was, that, you know, was breathed into them. So they really don't know. So don't allow people to speak to you from their turtle view when you are a giraffe and you can see more. Don't get in your own way. Follow your dreams, and your gifts will make room for you. That's what I want to talk about.
All right. Come on, weigh in, Ms. Sanders.
Okay, give me the topic. Give me the question exactly how it is, because I'm putting it in the group now.
Okay. I just said that, like, don't allow people with their vision, wherever it is that they are in their life and their experiences, to influence your vision, which is much broader, from your experiences, from divine, you know, reception, you know, receiving, to get in the way of things that you want to do. That's basically it.
Okay. Well, because I've kind of been a solo person, I've always gone about my life solo life. I didn't grow up around a whole lot of family because of the way that I moved from one area to the other one, so I didn't have that foundation growing up as a kid. You know, I've been knowing you forever and ever and ever and seeing you all the time. Because I did a lot of traveling I transported from Marsh from the south up to the north, and I used to visit every summer. So I really didn't have that type of grounding with a lot of people. So I really didn't have my biggest enemy for my dreams and my hopes has always been myself. Always trying to stand in the shadows where I didn't, and it was kind of strange. And once I kind of, you know, had that conversation with myself, why did I always do this? Why did I always try to purposely stand in the shadows? And I realized that I was trying to purposely stand in the shadows because it was almost like I didn't want to offend people, which almost sounds kind of silly, but I didn't want to offend people by my light, because we're all a light. You know, we all could be a light in the dark world. You know, in the darkness, are you going to be part of the darkness, or are you going to be that light in the darkness? So I almost didn't want to offend people by my presence, because of how I grew up, and I always felt like people. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I didn't want to offend people. I didn't want to upset you or something, like, not necessarily caring what you said, because I am who I am, but I didn't want to, you know, rock the boat, you know. So I always made it my business to not do this when I'm around that person, because I wanted to keep peace, for peace sake. So
you're so sweet.
My biggest enemy.
You are
that
so
is
funny, because I would turn that, if my presence flips your boat, it just needs to be flipped. But coming from what you said, that's just how I feel. So, coming from where you said something that was really profound. You said that you always felt like you were in the shadow, like in the background or whatever. I'm just going to say, it's nothing wrong with being. A lot of people think that that's a bad thing, to be in the background. The front seat is not made for everybody. The person on the front seat can't see everything that's going on behind. So when you're in the shadows, you have a bigger view. You know, you can see more, whatever. So, you know, I don't know if you feel any kind of way about that, but being in the shadow is not, that's not really a bad thing. You gather information like that, you know, whatever, you get information. I'm all over that place,
yeah.
You know, whatever. I don't
have
to be up front and center. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had the ability to see a whole lot of stuff, and I'd be sitting back and looking at it like,
Exactly. And
so
if you were in the front,
I guess,
if you were on that front seat, you wouldn't have had those opportunities. So that's not a bad thing or whatever. That's one thing I just wanted to, you know, bring out and let you know that you know, you wouldn't have, that's not a bad thing.
No, ma'am.
Okay, love, John. Like
my dreams has always been, I've always been my biggest enemy in the midst of that. And it took time, it took wisdom, it took time, it took me growing, you know, to where I'm at now, you know. You know, my husband always says, although a flower may bloom late, it doesn't make it no less than a flower than the other flowers. It just bloomed a little.
Hey,
out there.
Hey,
it's
hey.
It.
Good point. Yes.
Good point. I like that.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Love,
that's a good point.
I like that. Yes.
Yes. I would say this. I understand the background. I understand the spotlight. I have had a lot of ideas that I felt like I wanted to do, and I would tell someone, "Oh, I'm thinking about doing this. This is where what you're trying to do is be quiet needs to be." When you tell people, sometimes when you tell people that, "Oh, this is what I'm about to do. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that." A lot of people don't want you to do it before they do. And that might be ugly for me to say, because there are people out here that you can have an awesome idea, you know, and
right.
You tell them, and they're like, oh, that's not going to work, that's not going to work. And then much down the line, you see either them doing it or someone else doing what you had already said you were going to do. But people tend to make you feel like it's not good enough. I experienced that a lot in my life, I can say that. I have these ideas, and I think about it, but I was my own self enemy. See, I didn't let anybody tell me about what I couldn't do, because I always felt like
exactly.
I could. But sometimes my head has 1,000 things telling me to do this, this, and this, and I'm like, how am I going to be able to incorporate all this at one time, trying to do this and this and this and this and this? So I tend to, like, knock stuff off my plate. You know, and just say, oh, well, I don't think that was a good idea. And it really was a good idea. So I'm pretty much my own self-enemy. I hate to say that, but it's the truth. I have to stand in my truth. I've been standing in the truth since 2020 came in, so I'm going to have to stand in my truth. I don't know why we do what we do as far as I think we want I can't even say I want it. People to be proud of me, because I'm proud of myself. Just coming from where I've been and still here and not looking like what I've been through. I don't know.
You have to surround yourself with people who know how to breathe into you and your ideas, because if you think about it closely, right, even with your play that you wrote, she and I sat on the phone all night long. I mean, we did not go to bed. We were talking, oh, I want to do this. And I was like, well, why can't you? She was like, huh? You know, you wrote this. Why can't you get it out? Why can't you do it? And then she was like, it was almost like, oh, you know, okay. And then, you know, this is what I know about doing this kind of thing, you know, whatever. So you have to surround yourself with people who, you know, I mean, it may or may not, it's your vision, but, you know, may or not, you know, you just have to surround yourself with the right kind of people. If you are always involved with somebody that's telling you how you can't do something, then that's probably not somebody that you, no, not probably, that is definitely not somebody that you should be giving your, you know, don't tell them stuff or whatever, because what? Not saying that they don't want you to do it, but they just, that's that turtle. They can't
yeah.
see. You
and
know,
that goes
your
back
vision
to the giraffe, so you're right about that.
Exactly. So you can't, even if it's something I would never tell you, because God didn't give that to me, you know,
right.
whatever. I would never tell you what you can't do, but okay. So, but that's, I'm a fix-it person. So this is what it is. So let's see how we're going to make this happen. My thing is, let's see how this is going to work. Not,
that.
Oh, well, I don't know where money going to come from. I don't know where the place is going to come from. Who, oh my, are we going to sell a ticket? That's not my thing. How do we make this work? You know,
right.
this is what she's thinking. How do we do this? So you have to surround yourself with people like that.
To be honest, Keisha, I have to tell you thank you because God did give me the vision, and I was not letting nobody knock me down on the plane. It's just that a lot of stipulations end up happening, and it went from being a place to a series. And I was like, well, Lord, you put it in my heart to do this here, so I thought it was supposed to be a play, but, hey, the way it's coming out, I think it's going to be better than what it should have been, you know, as far as that
right.
play, because you show everything on the stage. When you're recording something, you can record whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to thank you for that, because without you just saying, yeah, you can do that, I was like, I just wrote this, I don't know why. And he's like, you can put it on, and I was like, really? I never thought about that. It was just, I'm a writer, and I love to write. I love to write, period. And so I think that my aspect of it was like, I'm always writing, and it's for somebody else to utilize. I've always felt like I was a ghostwriter.
And I think that that's awesome, which Sisters United is teaching other women about unity. Like you're saying, you got to be that voice sometimes for that person that needs that extra boost to get done the things that they were called to do. You know, we always say what the word says, which is our gift will make room for us.
Yeah.
But we need to respect that as sisters and brothers in Christ, you know. In this world, what position are you holding? And sometimes we'd be so busy caught up, and I just want to stay in sisterhood, we'd be so busy caught up in competing with one another till we forget how much power we have working together. If I put you into your position, if I support you in your position, then while I'm getting in my position, what you have is what I need, and what I have is what you need. We are more powerful working together. So it is important who you surround. Who you surround yourself with, because it all starts in the mind first. You know, the biggest enemy is not really, let's be honest, is really not the people you are around. The battle starts with that inner voice, you know. It starts with that when you woke up after God gave you that dream, after he showed you what you're going to be doing. I'm going to tell you how quick the enemy jumps in. Soon as you wake up from that dream, or soon as you, you know, start writing it down, you get what I'm saying? He's right there, you know. So we have to begin to learn how to edify and build one another, you know, through words of affirmation, you know, words of you could do it. Or whatever God told you to do, let's put it on the table, let's get it done, you know. And we have to help each other get rid of our imaginary barriers, you know. It's like I tell people, it's just, you know, we wake up and we say, oh, I want to go to school, I've been meaning to, I don't know what it is, it's that voice inside of you that has a fear of the unknown. You have a fear of you already know what you're capable of doing because you've done it, but you don't know what God is capable of getting out of you, and that's that where faith comes in. So we have to deal with our mind. I want to go into the next topic. We have
can I Candace, I have a quick comment on that. What I had to learn over the years was a couple of key things. Not one, everyone is not going to see your vision or your journey.
Right.
You can't tell everybody your vision or your journey. That's my number two. And the most important thing that I've learned over the years is that I had to learn how to forgive myself for my failures and my successes.
Come on now.
And
if I was in a portrait room, I'd be snapping my fingers off.
Come on.
I know that's right.
Okay. But think about it. In order to dig deep and get the visions out of whatever you decide to do, you have to become fearless. The only way that you can become fearless is to look inside of you, look at yourself in that mirror, clean that mirror, and step through.
Yes.
Come on. Yes. You sure said. I'm out for that.
I had to learn how to forgive myself for my successes and my failures in order to move past. And I like what you said, get out of your own way. That was the only way I was able
to do.
Yeah. Okay, I wanna go back to we're gonna get ready to move to the next topic, but Keisha said something that I caught when she said it. She said, where did it come from? Where did the idea come from? Now, I'm going to tell you something, you know, and let's just keep it raw and real, okay? Sometimes we on this big old Facebook, okay? And we'll see somebody else doing something. And I always like to just help some people out. Just because you see somebody else doing something and you are capable of doing it too does not mean that's what you're called to do.
Say it a little bit louder. Those people up that back down and
my
back
God. just because I'm serious. Facebook has done that. It's a whole bunch of people today, if they would wake up out of jealousy, envy, and competition, will find out that what they're doing is not your call. You are doing is not where you're supposed to be. You see what I'm saying? Personal testimony. I know that I am a pastor, right? So I go and I start a church, and I set the church up like every church there that I've been to, you know, they got the pulpit, they got the this, that, and the other, just fine of something I went through. So I go in, beautiful, beautiful church. Do you hear what I'm saying? And preach, members coming in, all this kind of stuff. And then one day God told me, he said, this is not how I told you to do it. Okay. Now church was beautiful, had members, but it was so much chaos going on in the church. The person I was pastoring alongside had so much going on. I'm just trying to help you. When you set up something, you got to make sure, if God give you a vision, you have to make sure you follow that vision out the way God say do it. Sometimes, and that's how I want the ladies that's listening, those out there in podcast land, if God has given you a vision, we used to say it, he's going to give provision, okay? He's going to provide, okay? But watch what you are taking in through these eyes of yours. Watch yourself, because you'll be on a path that was not ordained for you, okay? You'll be sitting there looking at how powerful Tammy Lily is, Queenie Daniels, Keisha Robinson, Soldier Love, and before you know it, you want to do what they do. You can do it, and you're capable. You're probably capable, but that's not what God has called you to do. So, I just wanted to throw that in there, because why are you doing it? Where did the idea come from?
Exactly.
Is that your lane? You know. Because we don't want to have, you know, the shows, I love talk shows, but one thing I'm responsible for doing is making sure that we touch every aspect of it. make sure that what you're doing is really truly the call of your life, you know?
Right.
Make sure.
Right.
Make sure you're not doing it to compete. Make sure you're not doing it to prove to your parents that you can, or to prove that to somebody that you are able to do it. It's a lot of women today that lost, they didn't get approval from their dads, or they mother, or somebody told them they weren't going to never be nothing. So now they're on a path to prove them wrong. And you don't realize
right.
that's not the path God set for your life.
Yeah.
And I'm just a witness. Because I woke up one day and realized, okay, who am I doing this for? I wasn't doing it for God. I was doing it for the them. What did you say? The them? I was doing it for the them. And
I want somebody to round up all the days and thems and put them somewhere.
Come on.
The days and thems are those voices that
people are hearing. You know, that's telling
right.
them that's the days in them. So let's okay, Love Jones, what you got?
Okay, so I wanted to talk about where is the village, and the reason why I brought this up is because it has dissipated or almost dissipated. I was raised in the time. And I still think, yeah, some people say what's good for you might not be good for your kids. I get that. But this being raised by the village and the village caring, I think it's old school, new school. It should continue, period, because it helps the kids. And I say this, I was raised to where if I went down the street and I was cutting up and doing stuff that I was not supposed to, Miss Agnes down the street can get on me, send me home, call my grandparents or my parents and tell them what I had done, and then I would get in trouble again because they loved me or cared enough about me to say something. I love all God's children. And so I don't care if I'm not your mother, I'm not your father, I'm not your auntie, I'm not your cousin, I'm not any related to you at all, not related to you at all. If I see your child doing something that could harm or hurt him or her, or somebody's trying to hurt or harm them, I am going to speak up. I have always spoke up. I'm going to be this way till the good Lord calls me home. He knows exactly how he made me, and I just don't understand why is it that you can walk by and see this child about to almost kill themselves doing something, and you just walk on by. Or you're recording, look at this child doing this. Or you're kind of glad you've seen somebody child doing this here. But you haven't addressed the issue. So the child doesn't know that they could possibly be doing something wrong. So my thing is, where is the village? When did we dissipate? Because I'm still here.
All right, Miss Tammy, go ahead.
I agree. The million-dollar question is, where is the village? The old saying is, it takes a village to raise a child. And when children are out there, not around their parents, not around their grandparents or who the authority figure in their life is, they get out there and they do stuff and there's no accountability because they don't have to worry about anything because they know that what I do out here, nobody's going to find out about it as long as my mama's not around. And I grew up in the age as well that when you act up somewhere, and if you're getting too out of line, I mean, I've actually grew up where, you know, you got to spank it from that person as well, you know, if you're out there clowning too bad. But what happened to your daughter over here doing such and such? And some parents would turn around and reply and say, well, you need to mind your business. That's not your business. And everybody wants to turn that back and act like, okay, well, now it's not my business. But the reality is most people have a mentality that, okay, what I do is my business. It don't affect nobody else. And the reality is it does. You know, we're all affected by it. I mean, just look in case the point of the kids at school. You got a child at school that's acting a fool. And you send your child there, you just try to train your child how to act when they go to school. But when they go and see your child acting a fool, then they want to act a fool. And then they're like, well, such a sense, mama, let them do this. And why I can't do that? So it does affect us. We're all in a circle of life, you know. So it affects, if you let your kid cuss and I don't let my kid cuss, and your kid out there cussing. So now my kid thinks they're supposed to cuss. So they come home and cussing, you know, at me, and then I got to pop them in the mouth because they cussing and watch your mouth, you know. But they didn't got used to, you know, doing that out there. So now they come home bringing that stuff home. And then it also transfers to the children at home. So if I have a three-year-old at home that's just not as impressionable, and my older kid comes home doing this stuff, then my three-year-old's going to pick it up. So,
right.
You know, we have to really, really tighten that up, you know, and that's the reason why these children are just outright out of control. It used to be that you were never going to a store and hearing another kid cussing their parent out. Now you can see, you know, they up there getting upset. I hate you. Oh, I can't get my way. All this kind of stuff. So it's just a domino effect of, you know, we go from one extreme to the other. You know, it used to be, okay, what we're doing is trying to beat the skin off a child. Now we're not touching the child at all. You know, the Bible says you spare the Lord to spoil the child. So,
you better not bring them to my house because I touch them. And if they want to touch them, touch every door knob and seal it in the place.
Because out of my house. If you don't want them disciplined, don't bring them to my house, baby. Things is love to you. But when you want it.
Let me say something about discipline.
Yep.
Okay. Let me say something about whipping. Okay. So. Whipping is not beating the kids all over the head and then holding them down with the vacuum cleaner, right? That's not. Whipping should be corrective, the rod of correction. Whipping should not be punitive. It's not your punishment. If you want to punish them, punish them. You know, if you're going to spank them or whip them or whatever, then you whip them. You don't beat your kid because you're mad.
That's correct.
You whip them or whatever. You know, if that's what you're gonna do to correct them, so that's not a beating. So some people, you know, where I got beat with my mama beat me with a car, you know, whatever it is, extension cord or whatever. Oh, you pulled the whole tree up on me.
Right.
Okay, now that's not a whipping. That's just crazy, mama. You was crazy.
Oh,
you was crazy.
Well, I have to say. I have to say, this is Candace. I have to say, I have First, I have to say, in regards to the village, and we also have to make sure that we're choosing our village wisely for our children.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
And then I can also say for me, I have never spanked my children, ever.
Hmm. Okay.
And
they might
let's
not
be real. Kids know who they can play with. They know who they can play with, and they know who they can't play with. I was an educator, never had a discipline issue in 5 years I was a teacher. Kids know straight from the back. If you put the rules and the boundaries down from the beginning and you put the consequences in play, I can honestly tell you, I went old school Cosby when my kids decided that they wanted to have a food fight at a Chinese restaurant. I cleared out their entire rooms. They had one uniform, one hairbrush, and four hair bows, and they had to work that out. Okay.
I'm gonna bring up listen, my son, I was living in Clayton Hall downtown some years ago. And my son joined the gang. I was working, single parent working, and he was supposed to watch the house. I was going, he joined the game. I didn't know it at the time. I was working. I come home. I go to sleep. Make sure everybody has done their homework. You know how kids are. They get it together before you get there. Be back in the house by the time I get there. So I noticed that he had cut little gashes in his eyebrow, right? So I'm thinking, you trip. So I'm thinking I got to sit down, I got to talk to him, you know, thinking it's just that, you know, simple, okay? So he's like, Mama, I understand, you know, because your kids know how to tell you whatever you want to hear or what to make you go away. So, okay, next thing I know, I come home. No, I'm at home, I'm cooking, and his homeboys come over. And I'm cool with it because I'm like, you got friends. I'm cool. I'm just green as a blade of grass, right? So I'm fixing food. I'm fixing
sandwiches for the guys, all of this kind of stuff, right? So then I'm doing drawing everybody's name on the back of their pullovers and you know, their shirts and stuff. Now, y'all done became the gang mom now. Don't even know it. The gang is meeting at my house. Don't even know it. You hear what I'm saying? I done put treetop Piru on everything and put all they homeboys around.
Yeah.
But wait. So I go to work. No. What happened before that, I went to wash clothes, right? So I'm in the laundromat of the apartment complex, and I'm just going off about this kid that's been tagged on the wall in the laundromat, right?
Oh, no.
He done tagged all the walls, D, D, Ron, D, this, D, that, all of this. He done tagged all the walls. Okay, I'm mad. I'm like, oh, boy, I can't believe this. This is a mess. I go home, right? I get up for work the next day. Go to work, get a call from the police. Your son is in handcuffs on the side of the street, okay?
Wow.
Go to the, I'm from the country, and country women, you don't have to be from the country, just be a single parent. And the first thing in my head was, I'm about to end his life, okay? Oh, Lord, I'm about to just take him out. I'm about to end his life. So I call my mama. I say, meet me at my house. It's going down. You know, it's going down. I'm about to take him out.
Going down.
And so my mom, she heads over to the house. His dad comes over, right? Now, his dad ain't really met the country me, so it's okay. It's a little scary for him. He don't know what's about to go down. Okay, he done picked my son up, took him to the house. I'm at the house, and I said, what's going on? His daddy said, he in a gang. I said, in a gang? I say, I flip. Y'all know, come on, mothers. Y'all got that switch where you flip, you see red.
Yes.
You don't know, you ain't you no more. All that little everything when I win. You know, my kids laugh because I always say, you better run. You spoil a child. I automatically go into, you know, crazy. So I say, okay, how did you get in the game? He say, oh, they jumped me in. I say, I'm about to jump you out. Boy, my baby, the whole house was in a uproar. They was like, oh, Lord, she's about to go crazy. You know? Okay, I'm going to fade to black on that because y'all don't need to know what happened after that. But my point is, my mom
right.
took it.
Turn that camera off.
I said, you want to behave like you headed to jail. I'm going to see you to jail. So my mom
right.
went to her house, cleaned out a room, cleaned everything out
right.
of it, put a twin-size bed in it. We put him in Dickies and a little tank top, tank or whatever they call it. They like to call it a wife beater, but I don't. We put him in one of those shirts and some little Michael Jackson church shoes, and he was in that room for 3 months. And his daddy didn't get in the way, and I got my son out the gang. And every time when I'm knocked on the door, I say, you come to this door again, I'm going to deal with you. See, we have to, and then I had other people that knew, they already knew that I know her, that's the woman of God. When she tell you don't come back to her door, she means don't come back to her door.
Right.
But it took my mama showing up, his daddy showing up. You know, it took people standing with you when it comes to making sure that you save this child. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It takes all of us to save our children, especially when they don't want to. If he don't want to listen to me, guess what I did? He didn't want to listen to me no more. You know what I did? Made him some breakfast, put all his stuff in a garbage bag, and dropped him off at his dad's house. I'm just being real with you. I say, all right, he's 13. He's smelling himself. Here you go. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have to ask for help. Sometimes we want to, I just don't want to, I don't want them around my, but some of the things that you keep, the people that you're keeping your children from, they need to be around, especially your male children. They need them. They need them. My son needed his daddy. He needed that stern relationship, you know, where I'm a big old softy. I might get mad, but after, it takes me a minute. See, but we need a soldier love Jones that'll catch them in the stove. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm at work, so I need the village. You see what I'm saying? You know, I need the aunties and I need the first ladies and I need to say, boy, get yourself somewhere and sit down. Well, what you say? Well, your mama didn't raise you like that. We need the village, and we need to stop being that person and say, don't you say nothing to my son. We need to stop. We're setting our children up for failure. We send them up to jail. We're packaging them and sending them out to jail. And the crazy thing about it is, some ladies say, well, I ain't going to put my hands on my kid. I say, okay, you don't have to discipline your child, but I promise you, that somebody he gonna obey somebody. Now you either teach him,
so I can tell you.
Come on.
They go down there thinking that they gonna rise up the way that they do. They get dealt with, and guess what? Nobody's gonna say anything. You know, nobody's gonna say anything. So, and then too, when you have ability, when your children know that when they step outside the door, that there are eyes on them, there are certain things that they gonna try.
My son was
in high school, like when I graduated, I never really left the school, so I would go back and help the ROTC department. You know, like the people knew me. I'd go by the office. My name tag would be sitting there some days to go, okay, if you didn't come today, we know you're coming. Let me put a date on here. You know, they go in there and get it. So one day I got a phone call. I was at work, and it was a band director. Miss Keisha, do you know that Quay is leaving this school? He's walking off campus right now. Get him on the phone. Quay, your mama is on this phone. And she want to know where you're going. You know, it's like you just never know. No, I didn't give him permission to leave the school. As a matter of fact, he don't have no business leaving school.
Right.
What period is it? Oh, it's lunchtime. Still, you know, that's something, that's a conversation we need to have if you're going to be walking away from the campus. But, you know, I was one of those parents. So, you know, involving other children, you know, and a lot of times people don't want to say anything to children because, you know, you have to almost fight the mama.
You're right.
Or whatever. That's my child. And my thought is, if he wasn't yours, he probably would be about something, you know, whatever, or being a whole better position, you know, or something, or whatever. So tell me about mine. I want to know. I can't tell you what they want to do. Oh, my child didn't do that. You're a liar. You're lying.
Right.
You know, or whatever. I can't tell you what mine won't do. I can tell you what's not acceptable and what they told you will not try around me, but I can't tell you what they really won't do.
That's true. You know, when it came to my kids, I had to sit back and think about when I was growing up, what actually worked and was actually effective punishment for me, what was effective motivation for me, and that's what I applied to my kids. You know, I was one of them parents, you act up in school, it ain't that I'm going to come to one class and pop up on you on one class. We going from class to class, and I'm going to sit beside you. And I did it for a week. I did it for a week with one of my daughters. And they didn't even know I was showing up. The counselor called me. I said, okay, I said, well, what time to go to lunch? I said, well, send me that class schedule and a map of the school. And I said, I'm going to get the visitor's pass. And I sat right beside her in class with my laptop on, doing the stuff that I needed to do for my business, for my clients. And I sat beside her every class for 1 week. And I told her, next week we'll do a trial basis. If you act correct in class, I won't have to come back. But if you don't, I'll be back.
I will pop up. I'm one of these parents that you don't know what I might come up with. And to tell you the truth, I don't know what I might come up with. Just whatever I get a win from. So this sag and pants situation with my son.
Oh, wow.
Son, you cannot sag your pants around me. It's not cute. I don't want to see your underwear,
yep.
Although I wash them. I know they're clean. I don't want to see it.
Right.
So, okay,
that's
mama. He comes in with sagging pants one day. So, you know, this was around the time everybody had those big, fat shoelaces. And he don't have to spell out about them, so he had a whole lot of them. So I said, okay, I seen the pants sagging. I didn't address that issue because I talked about that all day. I don't like repeating myself. So I said, hey, you know, Quay, bring me four of those fat shoelaces you have. Mama, what color you want? Oh, I just want them to be different colors. I said, make sure one is pink and one is orange, though. I don't care what the other colors are. All right, Mama. So he proceeds to bring me the shoelaces, and I proceed to tie them to the belt loops of his pants. Put them up on his shoulder like suspenders. Now, we're going to Walmart. We're going out to eat. We're going out for our day. And he's looking at me. I said, I told you I don't want to see your underwear. So I never had to do that. So sometimes, you know, it's just I've taken doors off the hinges. Nobody closes doors in my house unless you're going to the bathroom. That door gets closed. Otherwise, what are you in there hiding from? If you're studying, I'm the loudest thing in the house. So if you're studying, Mama, I'm studying, and I will be quiet. You know, what are you closing the door for? You know, what are you not wanting me to see? I'm not a snooper, like, you know, but I make it plain that anything in my house is subject to my inspection. I'm not getting your permission. It's not yours. I let you borrow it.
That's how
I feel about it. That backpack is borrowed to you from me. So if I want to go through that backpack, I will. The drawers or whatever. So don't bring nothing in here that you feel I might have an issue with because you're going to have an issue, not me.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of person I was. And sometimes
I
come up with stuff
and
I don't know how or why or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, my children know I'm a different kind of – I'm really a different kind of butterfly. I tell y'all that, but I am. So you have to get creative sometimes and just come up with stuff on the fly.
Let me tell y'all, you know, we raised our granddaughters, and the two little ones were just, I mean, they fight all the time. I'm telling you, that's just a stop fight. So one day I come out my room, and I come into Mariah's room. Her and Kaden is just fighting. That's the oldest in the middle. They fighting like, they just going hard. Mariah got her in the headlock. So I said, oh, yeah. So that's how y'all doing it. So I went and got one of my shirts and made them put each arm in one arm and sort of, the other arm is inside the shirt. So I say, this is what y'all going to do today. Since y'all want to fight them and just y'all going to be together wherever you go today. I don't care. If you got to clean your room, she's going to come in and help you clean your room. If she got to clean her room, you're going to go in there and help her. But meanwhile, we only got one arm. I say, learn how to work together, baby. Because that fighting that I told y'all not to, baby, my get-along shirt, I ain't had no problems since then.
I know that's right. My dad's mom used to make them hug each other.
I mean, they was fighting like they were
against one another.
I used to make Mr. Three hug each other. When they were fighting, and they were just standing there hugging each other, looking at each other like they was mad. I said, so you mad? The longer you mad, the longer y'all gonna hug each other.
My dad used to do that. Okay.
I think my mom tried that one time and made me kiss my brother because we were fighting. Me and my brother used to fight. I mean, we all put holes in walls. Me and my brother used to fight. I think she tried that one time. I tried to break his face with my lips because I knew that if I just broke his jaw, we would end up at the hospital instead of me standing there kissing him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
All right. This topic right here is something else, and it has so many doors that we can walk through with it. I got a topic. Hallelujah. Y'all know I... This topic, we're going to switch it up all the way. And then, you know, after this, we gotta let it go. I know these ladies, the ladies that listen to the show like, oh, y'all about to get off? No, we got one more topic. This topic is, I heard an older woman say this, and I had a big problem with it. She said that if your husband is cheating, it's your fault.
I control this whole man in his mind. Oh, wow.
Yeah, she said, this, let me tell you what she said. She said, oh,
She said, if your husband had to go find something somewhere else and another woman, it's your fault.
How about he's just a dog? And that's a dog's nature to go and search for bones. Let's try that one out.
Now I'm gonna make this topic even thicker. She's a woman of God. They said it.
Oh no.
How old is she? Because back in the day that's how they felt. How back in the day is she?
She's way back there.
Okay. We're gonna leave that back there.
So how do y'all feel about that? If your man cheat, your husband cheat or whatever. What is up with that? What is the next step? You know, because it's a lot of relationships that make it through infidelity. So, all right, let's weigh in on it. This is gonna be the end all topic.
Okay. This is
so true. Go ahead, Love John.
I'm going to tell y'all, first of all, I can't make you do nothing that you don't want to do. Period.
Hello.
If you decide you want to go out there and cheat, for whatever reason, you saying that you're cheating for, that's on you. That don't have nothing to do with me. Because if me and you, in my relationship, me and my husband, we talk about everything. Because I'm the kind of woman that I just can't not let you do something to me and not say anything about it. So me and him sit and talk about emotions and feelings and how I feel about it and how you feel about it. So we're talking of couple. If you go out there and you have an affair on me because of whatever reason you're saying and we couldn't talk about it, then I'm good on that. I don't need to be with you because the fact is this. I don't want to be a number. I'm going to let y'all know that right now. I don't want to be the first one. I want to be the only one.
Hello.
And if I can't be the only one, I'm not going to be none at all. And I promise y'all, me and my husband go back 30 years, and I love him dearly. But what I realize is that I love myself too. And I know what I deserve. I know who I am. I know what I bring to the table. And I know that, hey, if you decide you want to go out there and get some ice cream when you're so used to chocolate ice cream, but you want some vanilla, child, you better keep eating that vanilla because this chocolate is melted. And I'm going to just leave it like that.
I know that's right. Now, I feel like if you make a move to forgive, now, if you're going to forgive, go ahead and forgive. Don't keep bringing it back up. I'm not cheating is something I'm not hurt. So, when I'm done, I'm done. You know, and I'll get out or whatever. It's nothing that you can do to, like, you know, I don't want to know the why. That has to do with cheating or anything. When I'm done, I'm done. You know, but if I choose to forgive you, you don't have to worry about me bringing it back up because, you know, okay, and don't you bring it up. Just, you know, whatever, I forgave you, I'm going to deal with this or whatever, you know, I'm going to have to work on some things, you know, or whatever. And my thing is, know what you have. So, to me, if somebody is cheating on you and you have to ask the question, should you leave, then you're not going anywhere. So know what you have. Stop getting your feelings hurt. Put a collar on that dog. Get him some flea powder. Make sure he has a dog tag on. And when he gets out there and needs to get back home, they can look at his dog tag and call his own. That's how I feel.
But Keisha,
okay,
do you feel he's cheating because of you?
No. So to me that's relative. Because if that's the case, I can cheat too. You don't cut the grass. I have to go outside and maybe cut the grass and start the process of making it seem like I'm gonna cut the grass in order for you to do it. Does that give me the license to go and cheat? Okay, maybe
right.
I don't cook every day, and you're saying that this woman cooks every day, or, you know, maybe you like to rub my leg from my hip to my foot, and I like to be rubbed from my foot to my hip, you know, whatever.
Right.
It does not give the right. If it's something you can't deal with or something that you're not willing to negotiate a deal with, get out. You know,
right.
Don't
so,
get out. If it's something that bad, no, it's not my fault.
Okay, so I want to take but this
I
from a different perspective, right?
Hold on.
Okay, so I have to take that from a different perspective, right? I've been the cheater, and I've been the person that's been cheated on.
Okay.
So for me, as being the cheater, okay, as the cheater, I did it for very selfish reasons, very insecure reasons, right? Now, as the person that was cheated on, I have to say, it was right there in front of me. It wasn't blindly, it wasn't going right. And you kind of know when someone's stepping into that boundary. So for me, when I found out that I was being cheated on, I just cut the relationship. But
right.
Then here
but
was the catch, right? Then here was the catch, but then it got brought up. But you cheated on somebody before, and they stayed.
But that was them.
So then that was them. So what I had to learn was that as being the cheater, the reason why I cheated is because I was insecure within myself and I didn't love myself. Someone that was cheated on, when I decided to leave, is because I realized that this person's problem is bigger than me and it has nothing to do with me or this relationship. So why stay?
Okay.
Okay, so there's two different reasons. I don't know. I just feel like if, you know, when some people say, well, you know, I know this person so well or whatever. I know them. If they're doing this, I could deal with that, you know, whatever. Somebody new, you know, you have to figure this and that and whatever out. I mean, it's just not going to make me feel good, and I'm just not, you know, whatever. I don't know. To me, you just have to know your worth. You have to know your worth and know what you are up for tolerating. Me, I don't. And you know what? That's probably why I'm 47 years old, and I have never had a husband. Because, like, you know, you have to take some stuff. But my thing is, if it's something that you know you can't deal with, to me it makes no sense to marry that person. When I get married, that is it. You are him. You mad, go in another bedroom, scratch your head, come on out. Give me a kiss, and we fine. You mad, you going to your mama's house, pack all of our bags, because we all going over there. You know, whatever. That, you know, that's just the way that I feel. So.
I see that works both ways, though, because it's like you have to know who you are and love yourself in order to know that cheating is wrong. But then you also have to love yourself and know yourself to know when to walk away. So I think it just works both hand in hand. It boiled down to loving yourself. You know, when I set out to be the cheater, I let it be known that I'm about to cheat on you. You're lacking. We had this discussion. We didn't been to therapy, but hey, well, you know, if this is what you want to put up with, then you put up with it,
right?
And that's the role that I play because I am a transparent person. I let it be known: three strikes, we done. You know, but I didn't leave, and that was the mistake. Instead,
I don't know. I mean,
unhappy face. You know, I was unhappy and put on an unhappy face, but pretended like I wasn't creeping.
Yeah, my thing is, I don't feel like I made you cheat on me. I mean, you did it on your own choice. Don't use me as the excuse. If you want to cheat, then hey, by God, cheat. I can't stop you from doing that. But do not use me as the excuse. Zena doesn't cook enough, or she doesn't give me enough sex, or she doesn't do this. Because what the thing is that I do know is that we as women, we will listen to a man tell us all this about this woman, that he reason why he's cheating, and we're not paying attention that, oh, guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to be that person, too. You're going to be the reason why he cheated.
Exactly.
Oh, you did.
It's going to be something. A broken man.
The thing is, I told y'all at first, I'm not going to be a number. I'm not. Not willingly, I'm not.
Okay, I got a question. Let me throw a curveball in here. What if he has cheated physically, but he's real close to a woman. He what they call a work. He got a work wife. He ain't slept with a had sex with her, nothing like that. But all his emotions, he have conversations with her. They go to lunch together. And he barely talks to you about what's going on with
with him, but he'll have an intimate conversation with her and all this. Is that cheating?
Yes. Cheating is emotionally and physically in my
emotionally.
Book.
Emotionally, yes it is. Once he's crossed that line, and he's then it's hard for him to let go and hard for that person to let go. Once you allow somebody emotionally in your life, it's hard to just let go. I feel like it's cheating. I don't care. There's no need for you to invest in someone else when you have a whole wife you can talk to. I don't want to hear that, oh, I didn't think I could. You didn't have time. Just sit down. We're going to have to make time because you're making time for someone else and giving them all this parts about you that I don't even know. You're telling her that you're about to get a supervisor position or you're about to get paid more money. But when you come home, babe, how was your day? Oh, it's okay. And you just keep it moving? No. I mean, you're taking a lot of emotions away from me and giving them to her, you know. And so, therefore, she feels more important because emotionally, you know, women are very emotional. So, if
Tammy,
emotionally to me, it physically
yes,
doesn't
ma'am.
Matter.
Okay. If you cheat, if a man cheats, is it your fault or what have you? For me, cheating, us in life, we have free will. God provided us with free will. We have the right to do what he says or not do what he says, but we have to suffer the consequences. So you have to look at that act like in the same aspect. You have free will. But although you have free will, people make mistakes. But a mistake becomes a choice after doing it so many times. I've cheated, and I actually dealt with my issues about why I cheated. And I had to step back and know my worth. And out of respect for my relationship with my Holy Father, I don't do that. He says not to do that, so I'm not going to do that. And so me and my husband have that conversation all the time because I've told him, you know, been transparent that, hey, I've cheated in just about every relationship that I've had. That's just about every serious relationship I had outside of this one. This is the only relationship I've been in that I have not cheated on that person. And it was various reasons why I cheated. But in this particular area, I have grown so much in my spirituality in my walk with God that I said that, hey, I'm not going to do this out of respect for God. It's not about you. It's about my walk with my Father, my Holy Father, my Savior, you know, my Creator.
Right.
And that's how I took it with him. And the crazy thing is my husband's a pastor, and it's the only pastor that I've been married to. So it's almost like he can't understand that, but he can't understand that. I guess the world has taught him that people cheat
right.
somewhere along the line, you know. Especially with the difference in the ages between me and him, you know, with him being an older gentleman, he's 63 and I'm 42. So he has a big problem with the age gap difference. You know, we're 20 years apart. So he has he looks at it like that, you know, you're a young woman and I'm an older guy. He's saying, oh, you can have anybody you want to. You're so pretty and all that kind of stuff. But I'm like, you know, all that stuff is irrelevant because my relationship with my father is
right.
so much
I'm
more
married,
important.
But I'm married.
So my thing,
exactly.
Yeah. So my thing, if a person cheats, that's a personal thing with them, and they have to deal
I
with
agree.
The reason why they cheat. Because people cheat for different reasons. It's not just I just want to go out there and get some. It's different reasons. It's insecurity. It's a man feeling like the more women I have, the bigger the man I am, you know, because that's what society tells you. The more stuff you get, the more you the man, because you get it anytime you want to. So, you know, they have grown up to learn that. And like me and my daddy had that conversation about why people have infidelities and so forth. He grew up, he started having sexual actions at a young age. And so for whatever reason, in his mind, he's painted in his mind that this is what you do, you know. So people have different reasons, but you can never, it's not fair to blame it on that other person. Well, you didn't cook for me enough, so I go out there and cheated. You didn't give me enough sex, so I went out there and cheated. If you're with that person, you're committed to that person, that means you're with them for better and for worse, for richer and for poorer. So what's the purpose of saying the vows? If that's not what you mean, then don't say that.
Exactly.
You know.
Then don't say it. I know that's
your word is all you got.
The word is all you got. If your word don't mean nothing, then you have nothing.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's
true.
You
know,
don't have a word, you don't have
like,
a thing.
I like the way you said. I like the way you said about, well, in a nutshell, take responsibility. Take responsibility for your actions. You know, when you, it's kind of like if I'm lacking something or I need something. See, another thing, we're not honest in our relationship. And when you're not honest, if a person sits and asks you what's wrong, or I notice a disconnect between us, what's wrong, and you make a decision at that moment to let them in or not let them in. You see what I'm saying? You make that decision because sometimes you saying a lack of sex. You know, sometimes you need to tell that person I need more of this. You know, I need more of that, but. You also have to say, are you willing to go without it if they can't do it? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of folks that are out there cheating and doing a lot of things, and their excuse is my spouse can't please me in this way. My spouse can't do this, so this is why I'm doing it. But why stay in something, drag a person along?
Exactly.
It's some selfishness in there. It's some deception in there. And a lot of times we don't want to admit these things about ourselves. We don't want to just – sometimes the conversation is too hard, so we decide, let's take responsibility to go out there and self-medicate. You know what I'm saying? We decide to go out there.
I like the way you say that, Pam.
Yeah, you know, but – we have to learn how to open our mouth and say what we need to say, and let people make it. How dare we? And I've been in some situations, my God, myself. But it was like you take a person's choice away from them when you decide. You know what I'm saying? You got in a committed relationship with them. You made a vow. And this is not judgment, it's just the truth, because I had to face some horrible truths in my life, you know. But we make a decision when we decide to step out of our committed relationship and go do something. You made that decision. Now you have to roll. You, whatever the consequence is, you have to face it. Now, before that, before you got yourself in that position, you know, you should have just went ahead and had the conversation. If you were through with the marriage or wanted out of the marriage or wanted out of the relationship, you just said, "Hey, I want to see other people." You see what I'm saying?
Just tell me.
But I don't know why it's so hard for a lot of us
because
to have the conversation. Because some of us are just greedy. Some of us are just greedy.
Yeah.
Okay, you all, I am going to have to step off. I have a work meeting that's supposed to be going on right now.
Okay,
so.
We're wrapping it up. Okay, go ahead and sign off, and then we'll just go down the line and let everybody sign off, and we'll just join everybody next Wednesday. How about that?
Awesome.
Okay. So this is Keisha signing off. I'm sorry, ladies, I have a meeting right now. I have to. So, great topics. I look forward to next week.
Enjoy work.
Thank you.
Both of
you. Yes, this is her. I am C. I really enjoyed our topics and conversation today, y'all. Saying I will talk to y'all next week.
All right, Miss Lily.
This is Tammy Lilly. I'm signing off. I have been enjoying the conversation. Please make sure you come back to join in the conversation. Next Wednesday, we'll be here every Wednesday at 10 o'clock Central Time. I am so excited about this platform. I want to thank Ms. Queenie for providing it for us, for choosing me, for choosing the ladies that I have the opportunity to co-host with. Just thank you so much, and everyone, be blessed out there. Make sure you be safe out there.
All right. Now we had a drop in co-host today. Where you at, Candace?
Hi, I'm Candace. I'm here in Houston, Texas. I just want to say I absolutely love the platform. I love the topics, and you guys were awesome, and I thank you for allowing me to be a guest today. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Welcome. All right, y'all. We're signing off with the Sisters United, the late Sisters United, just uniting inspiration, real topics, raw and uncut, and just, starting the conversation. We'll join you back next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Get your coffee, put on your slippers because we're still supposed to be at home, and then let's talk about it, all right? We'll talk to you later.
Awesome.
Goodbye. Love y'all.
I've been through so much in my life. Tried everything, but nothing turned out.